Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here. Also brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today, the latest crop reports as harvest has passed 80% and remains ahead of the five-year average. We look at grain markets for the shortened work week, with both wheat and canola reflecting rising prices again this week. Real Agriculture talks about weather with Drew Lerner. We have a feature on Farm Credit Canada and loans to First Nation farmers, an update on Manitoba's harvest, and the province is adding more seats to the Veterinary College in Saskatoon to improve the number of veterinarians serving in rural Saskatchewan. The farm weather's in its usual spot.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. Saskatchewan farmers made limited harvest progress this past week. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says harvest is 81% complete, up from 73% a week ago.
So we're sitting at 81% of the crop now in the bin this week. That's up from 73% last week and ahead of the five-year average of 75%. So lots of hard work has been happening the last week, and there was a few down days just with some cool, damp weather affecting some producers out there.
What's the progress by region?
Well, the Southwest is just about wrapped up. They have 98% of their crop now in. They're just waiting for some flax to mature there. The West Central is 97, the Southeast 74, the Northwest 70, the Northeast 69, and the East Central has 65% of their crop in the bin. So maybe a couple more weeks of harvest left in those eastern regions and up into the north.
Tell me about yields and quality. What are you hearing?
You know, out of the Southwest and West Central, there are some disappointing yields, of course, due to that dry weather they had all season long, just wasn't conducive to making a bumper crop. So unfortunately, we're seeing some poor yields out of there. And then in the East, even there's some pockets that expected higher yields, and they're seeing a little bit more disappointing yields than they anticipated. But likely those yields are a little bit closer to average rather than well above average as they'd hoped. And then quality-wise, actually pretty strong across the board. We'll see in a couple weeks when we ask quality again to see if that's changed with the recent rains we're seeing. But there has been an increase of bleaching of cereals and then also some diseases that were also present in the seed. So likely to see quality drop just a little bit lower than it was last year.
Where did the rainfall hit?
Mostly in the northeast and southeast and parts of the east central regions. The Bean Fay and Melford areas received 35 mils, while the Calder area received 14. The Marengo area with 4 mils and other parts of the province received anywhere from trace amounts up to 10 mils over the past week.
What's the topsoil moisture rating?
We've seen another week of slight decline due to that just insignificant rainfall coming across the province. So cropland topsoil moisture is rated as 1% surplus, 34% adequate, 35% short, and 30% very short, followed by hay and pasture is rated as 1% surplus, 27% adequate, 39% short, and 33% very short. So once harvest is all wrapped up, all the soils in the province could certainly go for a drink.
I understand some producers are having water shortages. Where does that seem to be happening?
Largely in the west central and southwest regions, as well as parts of the east central region, mainly in the 6A crop district. We're seeing some moderate to severe on-farm water shortages, mainly due in concern of livestock. You know, dugouts are either too low or too unsafe for cattle to be drinking out of, so producers are hauling water a long ways to get that cattle or those cattle some safe drinking water.
What were the main causes of crop loss this past week?
The biggest ones were just wind, waterfowl, and wildlife. That wind is continuing to impact unharvested crops, you know, blowing around swaths and shelling out the crops and lodging them as well. And there was a few frosts this past week, but just like we were discussing over the last couple of weeks, frost isn't a huge concern right now just with the maturity of the crops. So hopefully the rain holds off just a little bit longer and we can get that crop in.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and your Prairie Co-op Grow Team. Fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. Grain markets were on the upswing again this past week. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Pacallo says canola has risen $36 a ton this week, while spring wheat is up 20 cents a bushel.
Well, Jim, starting off on the canola front, strong week for the November futures, up approximately $36 a ton, with today being a fairly large move up, approximately $17 a ton. So the November futures are now sitting above $8.50 at approximately $8.55 here as we're talking right now. And then on the Minneapolis wheat front, the December contract, again, continuing higher as well, up approximately 20 cents a bushel on the week. So definitely some positive movements on the canola front here. As I mentioned, kind of last week, we saw a rally and definitely a continuation of the positive trend. So the last time we saw the November contract at this level was back on August 11th. And if we can actually go above this 890, 880 area on the November futures, that 900 a ton is in sight again, potentially. The contract does expire within the next month here. So the interesting things can happen, which is why I'm actually a little bit more bullish on the January and March contracts going further out. I've been talking with producers and really yields and production is lower what they thought. And we could be seeing some positive as well to support from some of the soy markets in the U.S. There has been actually a bit of a break in the U.S. dollar that's giving some strength to the crude market and then in turn on the canola oil market as well too. So I could see canola maybe trending a little bit more positive potentially next week, but it has gone up now here approximately $70 a ton here in the past about seven trading days. So that's important to watch.
What impact is the Russian-Ukraine war having on the markets? Is that what's pushing it up at all?
Maybe not so much on the canola front, but there has been some concerns that Russia may seek to disrupt the deal that's allowed for exports from the Black Sea to, like, so for wheat, then that would be more of a positive side of things. The December wheat on the Chicago market actually has been closing sharply higher, and again, same with Minneapolis as well, too. There has been, again, outside market forces like the U.S. dollar, like I mentioned. We've also seen possibly the wheat market finding some support from weather, as very dry conditions for the central plains in the U.S. might be disrupting some planting. And then also another development to dry conditions in Argentina. The Buenos Aires grain exchange actually sees the crop down nearly 22% from last year. So that's something that can definitely, you know, affect the wheat market to provide some stability.
Adam Pacallo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity. Joining us right now, we're talking weather, is Drew Lerner of World Weather Inc. Hey, Drew, how are you doing?
Hey, Sean, it's been a long time. I hope everything's going good there.
Okay, Western Canada, it's a bit of a mixed bag. What about for the kind of the southern part of Saskatchewan into Alberta. Is there any chance here for some fall moisture? We got some grassland in southwestern Saskatchewan just absolutely begging for some rain.
Yeah, it just absolutely amazes me how long this has gone on, and it's a terrible situation for some guys out there. And I, you know, I'd like to sit here and tell you that it's going to get better in the next 30 days. I originally had expected to see October getting more active, and I still think it will to some degree, but I don't know that we're going to be able to put enough moisture in the ground to really fix the situation to a large degree. We still have La Nina around, and that's going to try to keep it more warm biased, so we're going to fight whatever light moisture events we get with a strong evaporative moisture loss rate in between storms. And I want to leave you with a word of encouragement. I think it'll come, but I'm just not sure we're going to get it in the next 30 days. I think we're going to get some light precipitation events. A couple of cool air masses coming down the front range of the mountains in Alberta will cut across southern parts of Saskatchewan, and areas in the Highway 1 corridor will probably do a little bit better with a couple of events. But as far as getting, you know, a big 2-3-4-inch rain or anything like that, that's going to be a virtual impossibility, I think, for these next several weeks. But maybe we can get an inch of something out of something. I don't see it right now. Most of the long-range models are suggesting more of the warm and drier tendency for the region, although not absolutely dry.
Well, and warm it is.
Yes, it's nuts. It's nuts. There used to be some summers years back where we didn't hardly ever get to 30. And here we are at the end of September. And yes, yesterday, 30 and 31 degree readings in a lot of places. And I think we're doing it again right now.
And we are.
Yeah, so it's, and I do see that kind of thing coming and going periodically, yet for at least another several days off and on, not every day. It's crazy. And it is such a perfect example of what drought will do. We are so dry in the air and in the ground that the temperatures are going to bounce around. And that's something to keep in mind, because when it does get cold, it could get really cold really quickly, because there's no moisture in the atmosphere to slow those temperatures from falling. And since normal this time of the year is not 30 degrees, you know, it wouldn't take much to get us to drop quite a bit. And if we got a real good cold air mass coming, we're going to drop a lot. So be watching for that. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't see a lot of big-time moisture events coming up. But I think we're going to do better a little later in the winter, and maybe we get started with something more in the spring.
What I'm hearing from you is we can expect a pretty cold winter on the prairies. Is that what you're saying?
No. Actually, the prairies will, we're going to be very warm here to begin with. In October into the first part of November, it'll be pretty warm. And when we get to the second half of November, we'll get some shots of cold at that point. La Nina will still be in the neighborhood. We'll lose all these other patterns and trends, and we'll swing the pendulum the other way. So for a few weeks there, late November and December, we will get cold. It'll probably come and go in waves, though, not just persistent one week after the other. But then, just like I mentioned for eastern Canada, when we get into the second half of winter, things are going to change a little bit. And while that cold air gets funneled into Quebec and Ontario, we are going to see warm temperatures periodically in the western parts of the nation, and that will heat us up a little bit. But what's really interesting is on the backside of that big cold trough of low pressure out there in the eastern part of the country will be an opportunity for storm systems to come in from the U.S. Pacific Northwest and work their way into parts of the prairies. And I think that's when we'll see a little better mix of weather, a little greater snows, a little bit more of a bounce around on temperatures, and I think that's when we will start seeing some improving tendencies. But that's probably sometime in January, unfortunately.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at Real Agriculture.
It's your Agri Weather Forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina. specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today, mainly sunny. The high forecast, 28 degrees. Wind east 20. Tonight, the low 13. Friday, partly cloudy, wind east 20, gusting to 40 tomorrow, the high 23, the low 8 degrees. Saturday, sunny with a high 20, the low 9. Sunday, sunny, the high 20, the low 6. Monday, sunny, the high 22, the low plus 5. Tuesday, sunny, the high 20, the low plus 4. Wednesday, sunny with a high forecast of 16 degrees. Normal high for this date is 15, the normal low is plus 1. The sun rose at 6:55 this morning. It sets at 6:42 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Rock Glen at 29 degrees. The cold spot up north, Stony Rapids, at 9 degrees. Estevan is 24, Saskatoon 25, Swift Current 28, Weyburn 25, Yorkton 22. Regina is partly cloudy and 24. That's 75 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the east at 11. Humidity is 39%, 37%. The barometric pressure is falling 101.4. Partly cloudy in Moose Jaw, 28 degrees. Winds are from the east, southeast at 15. Once again, Regina, partly cloudy in 24. That's 75 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan Canada before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers. McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Regina-based Farm Credit Canada is working with Indigenous people to expand agricultural ventures, both large and small. Accessing capital from banks has been a major challenge for First Nations, and Farm Credit Canada wants to make the process easier. Sean Sunius is the Director of Indigenous Relations with FCC. He says First Nations already have business experience in other economic sectors.
We see other sectors that have done very well, like mining, LNG oil, gas. Some of those relationships have been around for decades now, and that's something that's fairly new to this sector. So we know our communities have experienced success and kind of went through all the learning processes in those other sectors. And I suspect that once they turn their lens to ag, they're going to be wanting to kind of go 0 to 60, not waiting decades to kind of go from labor to owning companies and having very sophisticated operations and partnerships.
Farm Credit Canada is working to gain a better understanding of future customers.
We can, of course, use that information to provide a better customer experience and to know what people are looking for, know where the pressure points are and the opportunities might exist, and then be able to provide good data and analytics and kind of advice back to our Indigenous customers and the community broadly when it comes to how they can participate in ag and share ways that they can kind of build their successes in that.
Sunia says it's important to have a flexible definition of agriculture for Indigenous customers.
We know a lot of our communities have the arable land in the west, and in particular Saskatchewan, Alberta. There's fast tracks around the water. Our communities are stewards over it. But lots of reserves are northern communities, and that maybe presents a barrier to some of those folks understanding what the opportunities in ag might be if they, you know, lots of people look at grains in the field and livestock on the land and think that's agriculture, but it's of course much deeper than that. And we've got lots of communities that are well positioned to participate in forestry and non-timber forest products as well. So things like wild rice and medicines and herbs and berries and different kind of, you know, mushrooms and things like that. So there's a host of things that, you know, we hope to, you know, open up in terms of business on opportunities on that side.
Sunia says it's still a learning experience.
We're confident that, you know, the changes to our lending side are making an impact, and there's quality assurance experimenting going on to make sure that we're making the impacts that we do. In terms of measuring impacts, we're probably 4 quarters away from being able to do that with great certainty, because until this spring, we didn't have a way to identify Indigenous clients. So unless I knew from somebody who made a loan, we just simply wouldn't know some of the great clients that we have, right? So we know anecdotally that things are working, and you know, of course we're tracking things that are net new loans and customers, but if we're looking back, it's a little hard to discern that right now. But you know, that's our hope in the, you know, the next couple of quarters, that we'll have a much greater understanding of our Indigenous customer base and what that looks like.
Farm Credit Canada will be offering small and large loans to Indigenous customers.
You know, we've got folks, you know, that qualify, say, for our starter loan, and they're a young person that wants to grab maybe 5 cows to start an operation, all the way to massive investments with huge companies that are exporting internationally, right? So everything from across that spectrum is in our kind of wheelhouse when it comes to lending broadly. So we're not restricting or focusing any one area on Indigenous, because we know we already have a broad array of folks, whether it's wild rice or maple syrup or the bait irrigation projects in Canada, fisheries, and et cetera. So, and we suspect we'll see more innovation and creativity as capital markets open up in terms of things like seaweed and you know, other fisheries and things that perhaps we can't put a finger on because we haven't allowed that innovation to take place.
That's Sean Sunias, the Director of Indigenous Relations with Regina-based Farm Credit Canada.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The Saskatchewan government is taking steps to alleviate a shortage of veterinarians in rural areas. Agriculture Minister David Merritt says the province will increase the number of subsidized student seats from 20 to 25 at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. This year, the province is providing $12 million, and the increase will mean an additional investment of $539,000 next year, increasing to $2.2 million a year by 2027. The president of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association, Arnold Balecki, says the support is welcome news.
Last number of years, SCA has been pushing hard, along with our sister organization, Stock Growers, to address the veterinarian shortage that we have here in the province of Saskatchewan. And really, today's announcement by our two ministers is an acknowledgement on their part, on behalf of the government of Saskatchewan, on their part, that there is a problem that exists, and they're trying to help alleviate it. And so we really appreciate and commend them for the announcement today.
The president of the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association, Garner Diebold, also welcomes the additional funding for increasing the number of veterinarians in Saskatchewan, in rural areas.
It's a great announcement, a great day. It's something that will make a difference for the industry here in the province, you know, on the cattle side, not only the cattle side, but animal health-wise across the province here. So I think it's something the government recognized, as Arnold said, that they needed to invest in. And, you know, there's a lot of areas that are short on veterinarians. And, you know, we are in a time where animal welfare and well-being is very important. And so this is something that addresses that and, you know, moves us forward.
Garner Diebold is the president of the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association. Harvest progress sits at only 47% complete across Manitoba, according to this week's crop report. This puts harvest completion about 3.5 weeks behind the 5-year average of 79% for this time of year.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update brought to you by Friese-Thomann Lumber. Since 1956, Friese-Thomann has been your trusted building material supplier for every type of project. Friese-Thomann in Regina and Fort Capel. Grain prices were reflecting upward movement in early trading. Viterra prices for canola gained $10.60 at $8.2652. Number one red spring wheat rose $1.79 at $4.2303. The rest were unchanged. Durum, $4.2528. Feed barley, $3.0287. Chickpeas, $9.2595. Flax, $6.2767. Lentils, $7.0450. Oats, $2.5532. Yellow peas, $4.3113. feed wheat $2.89.56. At Minneapolis, December spring wheat fell 1 cent at 971.5 cents a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock, 842-4574. And now, the latest livestock quotes.
Hello, Cattleman Jr. for Heartland Livestock, Yorkville. It's a market report for the week, September 28th. We had a nice run here this week with 2533 in the pre-sort, 338 cows and bulls for a total of 2871. On the feeder market this week, we saw a steady to lower in a few classes, but still a very good sale. Here are a few highlights. 43 yearling steers, 857 pounds at 251.75. Yearling steers, 946 at 231 and a quarter. On the yearling heifers, 842 weights at 218 and 955 weights at 202. On the calf market, it was a Charlie-influenced sale, and the producer did one hell of a job bringing some real powerful cattle to town. Buckskin steers, 420 at 330, 490 at 304.75, 565 at 284 and a quarter, 635 at 272, 707 at 265, and the big buckskin steers, 832 pounds at 252. Buckskin heifers, 490 pounds at 253, 563 weights at 252.75, 635 weights at 245, and the 694 weights at 226. On the black steers, 412 pounds at 330.50, 490 weights at 297.75, 640 weights at 264.50, 700 pounds at 261. On the red X steers, 495 pounds at 288.50, 570 weights at 274, 640 weights at 268.50, 712 pounds at 263, and on the big red X steers, 780 pounds at 257. On the rest of the heifers, there are 25 to 30 cents past the steers. The cows were steady to 3 cents higher. 240 cows out of $1.04. D1, D2 cows, $1.02 to $1.15. D3 cows, 89 to 101. Light Shelly cows, 69 to 83, and your half rats, $1.25 to $1.58. The bulls average $1.33 on 34 big bulls with a high of $1.52.50. Producers, the fall run is here, so please call ahead to book your calves as we are filling up fast. Deliveries of feeder cattle are Monday and Tuesday by 4 p.m. This has been Junior for HLS York, and thank you and have a great day.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, $232.94 per CKG.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. The Canadian economy grew slightly in July, with the latest reading on real gross domestic product coming in higher than expected. That's Canada, says the economy grew by 0.1%, outperforming its preliminary estimate that pointed to a contraction of 0.1%. The federal agency says growth in the goods-producing industries was partially offset by a decline in the services-producing industries. Stats Canada also notes the mining, quarrying, oil and gas sector grew by 1.9% in July, following slight declines in the two previous months. The latest reading follows similar growth in June, when the economy expanded by 0.1%. A preliminary estimate for August indicates real GDP for that month was essentially unchanged. A global First Nations carbon summit is being held Monday at the Atlas Hotel in Regina. Former Regina Mayor Pat Fiacco is business development manager of Carbon RX, which is involved with the summit. The summit is important as part of a truth and reconciliation call to action to include Indigenous people in economic opportunities. On the markets, the TSX is down 224 points to 18,424. The Dow has dropped 433 points to 29,250. Oil is up 40 cents at $82.55 a barrel. The Canadian dollar is at $73 even U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emulsion. emergent herbicide.